Adventures in Research. This is the story of an invention that few of us can afford to be without, which is one of the cheapest things we buy, and yet for its size and weight, may be one of the most valuable things in all the world. And if a man named Rowland Hill had not stopped by an English inn some 100 years ago, perhaps we wouldn't have the postage stamp. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story behind the invention of one of man's most commonplace and helpful aids to his daily living, the postage stamp. Our story begins in the year 1836 in England. The coach from London winds along a dusty country road, and with the last jolting bounce, comes to a stop.
Oh, here we are. Everybody out now. Here's a chance to stretch your legs.
I say, driver, what manner of place is this?
This, my lord, is the Rose and Eagle.
An inn?
Yes, my lord. Need a change of horses before we push on. It'll be a spell, so if it's tea or refreshments any of you want, just step inside.
Oh, driver, how long will we be here?
About an hour, I suspect, sir. Maybe two. Not more than four at the most.
4 hours? But see here, my good man. Dashed impertinence, didn't even stand here and listen to me. I've told him 50 times I had to be in Liverpool by Wednesday, but... Oh, beg pardon. My name is Powers, Aubrey Powers.
Rowland Hill.
Pleased to meet you. Well, I imagine we'd better toddle into the inn. The Rose and Eagle, eh? Upon my word.
Oh, here, let me get the door for you.
Hi, gentlemen. Love a duck, boys. Sit down. And what'll it be?
Mercy, I do feel faint.
A cup of grog for you, then, ducky. And how about you, sir?
Tea.
I know. I'll be back in a jiffy. I say now, did you two gentlemen come on the coach?
Yes, we did.
Mercy, what a trip. Such jolting and bouncing. I don't know whether I came by the coach or through it.
Begging your pardon, Governor, but you didn't happen to be passing the postboy now, did you?
The postboy?
Aye, the boy who rides the mail out from London.
I didn't open my eyes the whole trip. Didn't dare.
Blimey, he's getting later and later.
The postboy?
I say, how soon before we get some service in this benighted horse stall?
Coo now, no need to get on your high horse. I was just asking, I was. The likes of some people, I must say.
Rowland Hill, your name, eh?
No, quite.
I don't believe I know any, You in business? Making a business trip?
I
beg your pardon. Didn't mean to pry. I just wondered if we might have met before.
I'm, traveling for my health.
Traveling for your health? On that coach? Well, I must say, I don't think you're going to find it.
Where do you be now, Governor? Didn't take me more than half a move. You can thank your stars you got Kitty Carter to wait on you. Here's your tea, Governor.
I think I'd better have some tea also. I don't feel too well.
Just as you say. You take this one here.
Oh, all over me of all the... Come back here. You, miss. Oh, look at this mess.
No, I say you'd better go over to the fire there, Powers, and see if you can't dry off a bit.
Yes, I suppose I'd better.
Is the other gentleman all right? Love a duck, I didn't mean to spill the tea, but I got so excited when I saw the postboy.
Oh, he's arrived.
Just this minute came riding up, and he'll be here in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail.
Kitty Carter? Be there a Kitty Carter here?
And what might you want with her?
Are you Kitty Carter?
I ain't saying I is, and I ain't saying I ain't.
Well, I got a letter for her, mailed from London.
Let me have a look at it.
No, you don't. Not till you pay the 7 pence it cost. It cost 7 pence for me to hand this here letter to you, miss, and you ain't getting it till I get me money.
I ain't asking you to hand it over. Just let me have a look at the address. Maybe it ain't for me.
Well, now, no harm for you to look, I guess. But don't grab it out me hands. Not till I gets me 7 pence.
Poof! It's not for me. I never knew nobody what would mail me a letter from Shepherd's Lane.
Look here, you are Kitty Carter, ain't you?
Kitty Carter? No, My name's Kitty Carver. It ain't for me at all. So get off with you now and let me attend to the gentleman here.
Now, just a minute. You look here. I've rode all the way from London, I has. And you take this letter and give me the sevenpence.
It ain't for me. Why should I give you sevenpence? And now, sir, what did it be?
Oh, of all the silly jades. My ride all the way from London.
Who does he think he is anyway? Now, I ask you, Governor.
But, Miss Kitty, I thought you were expecting a letter. You asked if we'd passed the postboy riding out from London.
Sure, I was expecting a letter. From Alfie. I got it. And he says he's meeting me Sunday afternoon at the Cove.
But the postboy, I mean to say, well, you refused the letter.
So I did. Why should I pay sevenpence? You see, Governor, me and Alfie, we got a code, we has. He sends me a letter, and up in the corner he puts a couple of little marks, like. A white dot means yes, and a black dot means no, you see?
Oh, so all you do is look at the envelope and you get the message, eh?
And it saves me sevenpence. Lots of people doing that. Works real good. 'Cause the postboy has to get his money from them who gets the letters. Excuse me, Governor, and I'll get you your tea.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps this stop is doing me some good after all. So that's how it's done. That's why postal revenues are down. Well, I'll just make a note of this to add to my report. I knew the only way to find out what's wrong with the postal system in England was to get out and see for myself.
So Rowland Hill traveled throughout the length and breadth of England, observing the postal system as it actually worked, which wasn't very well. Although there were some post carriages carrying mail and passengers, much of the mail was delivered by post boys or runners. As to the cost...
Ridiculous. The government intends to pay the entire expenses of the war by upping the cost of postal service. The cost now for dispatching one letter a distance of 15 miles is 4 pence. And to deliver it more than a mile, the cost is... Well, it can reach as high as 17 pence for 700 miles. I ask you, gentlemen, why should our postal rates be so high?
And what does the learned gentleman from Marinock suggest?
I propose that we forget about basing the cost of the mail on the distance it's to be sent. I propose that we abolish the idea that one sheet of paper is a single letter, while one running onto two sheets is charged at double the rate. I propose that we charge a sensible prepaid rate for mailing, and see to it that the sender of the letter be charged before his letter is accepted. And I further propose that this charge shall be in the form of small adhesive stamps, which must be affixed to the letter.
Rowland Hill's suggestions were finally approved, and his first stamps were put into service May 6th, 1840. Not so long ago at that. And the public took to his idea of stamped prepaid mail with contrasting reactions.
Stuff and nonsense, Hill. Stuff and nonsense, I say. Look here, old boy. You mean if I intend to write a letter, check up on my holdings or some such, say I write my solicitor on some matter, before I can send him the letter, I have to fuss around hunting for some stamp, you say?
That is the idea in substance, Your Grace. Oh, I know there are complications. I've already recognized the possibility of someone forging stamps. That's why we've had them printed as we have, from engraved steel plates, using special dyes, special paper, special markings. A portrait of Queen Victoria, you notice, in blue for the tuppenny and black for the one penny.
Dash it all. Just another example of what a man has to go through to exist these days. Have to dash around the city looking for a portrait of Queen Victoria before I can mail a letter. Why, a man would have to have stamps with him all the time. Well, think of the expense, Roland.
Your Grace, it is the only sound system for the postal service to maintain. The idea of the recipient paying for the letter makes no sense at all, any more than charging so much per page. This way, it's based purely and simply on the weight of the letter. 1 pence an ounce, as simple as that. Practical, too. And as for charging by distance, completely unsound. This way, Your Grace, you can send a letter anywhere in England for a single fee.
But, my good man, I do not want to send a letter anywhere in England. You think I'm willy-nilly going to start sending letters all over the country? Why should I do that? A lot of bother, that's what it is. Rustling around, trying to find one of your precious stamps. Bah!
But, Your Grace, it isn't as complicated as you make out. Huh? Here, take a look at this. This is a sheet of stamps. 240 of the tuppenny variety.
Yes, the blue ones.
Tuppence per stamp, 2 shillings per row of 12, £2 per sheet. Clever, eh? And here at the bottom of the sheet are all the necessary instructions. It says, place the labels above the address and toward the right-hand side of the letter.
Just a moment. See what else it says. In wetting the back, be careful not to remove the cement.
Bah! Well, I know the cement isn't all it should be. We've been having a little trouble with its adhesiveness, but I've been experimenting on the best way to make the stamp stick, and I think...
Stuff and nonsense, Roland. Stuff and nonsense. No good will ever come of it, mark you. But if it will help you any, I'll buy some of your stamps. Not that I ever intend to write a letter if I can help it. Too dashed complicated. How much for these?
Well, that's a block of 48. 48 tuppenny blues. Let's see, Your Grace. That will be 8 shillings.
The Duke of Buccleuch bought his stamps, 48 of them for about $2, and stuffed them away in his desk drawer. 100 years later, someone came across that sheet of stamps, unused. Their market price today, $2 worth of stamps, $25,000. Yes, for its size and weight, a rare stamp is about the most valuable single object in the world today. The 1 cent British Guiana stamp, issued in 1856, and the only one of its kind in existence today, is valued at over $100,000. But Rowland Hill did more than set in motion an interesting hobby when he created the modern postage stamp. For few inventions have ever produced as much excitement, relief, drama, and happiness as the little labels that guarantee us our morning mail. No, Rowland Hill didn't think up the idea of letters or postage fees or mail delivery. But he did put all of them on an orderly basis when he dreamed up that little gum stamp in the upper right-hand corner of the envelope with his unusual adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.